Saturday Night Theater. The New Rector. The novel by Stanley Wayman, dramatized for radio by Molly Hardwick, starring Jeremy Clyde as Reginald Lindo, with Gabriel Wolfe as Stephen Claude. The action begins near the close of the year 1879. The new rector.
Poor dear Mr. Williams.
We'll never get another lunch in
this.
So we've seen the last of our dear old rector. Such mournful things, funerals.
You would come, Mama.
I thought it only right to pay my last respects to Mr. Williams, Laura.
My dear, did you notice Mrs. Clare's bonnet? A bunch of coloured flowers distinctly showing under the veil.
Never mind, Mama. Nobody could take their eyes off yours.
Oh, yes, I think I was wise to have it made up specially. Oh, oh, here's Stephen Claude.
Oh, how sad he looks, poor fellow.
I expect he wonders who he'll get in Mr. Williams' place.
Mm.
He's really very handsome, isn't he? For a curate.
Laura, dear.
Well, Mr. Claude, so the sad occasion is over.
Yes, Mrs. Hammond. He is laid to rest.
Now, what we all want to know is, who is to be the new rector?
Well, Miss Laura, I hear that the living may be given to Mr. Herbert of Easthope.
Oh, but he's old. Now, why don't they give it to you?
To me? My dear young lady, it's quite out of the question. I've never had the slightest expectation of the living.
Oh, I should have thought you most suitable.
No.
Everyone in the parish would be glad. Why shouldn't you have it? Can we not get up a petition or something? I think someone should tell Lord Dinmore what we all want. I do indeed.
If your good wishes could procure me the living, I should have reason to hope that Lord Dinmore will certainly appoint a senior man.
Someone who can't even dance, I suppose, or play tennis like you.
It would certainly be more gratifying to the ladies of the parish if the new rector were, youngish, unmarried even. I always feel that a clergyman's wife should be chosen from his congregation.
Then, you see, she knows everyone's business and everyone's troubles,
yes.
And it's all much pleasanter.
I agree, Miss Laura. But remember, Lord Dinmore is an old man. His choice must be from among his own friends.
Like Mr. Eastley. Ugh.
Where is Lord Dinmore? Has anything been heard of him?
On a hunting trip as usual, ma'am. But where, nobody knows. Oh. His solicitors think he may be in northern Canada.
I shouldn't think he knows where he is himself, silly old man.
Lord Dinmore is eccentric, there's no doubt of that.
Such a charming rectory. You could have delicious dances in the drawing room.
At Christmas?
At Christmas, of course, and the library is remarkably fine. But you're shivering, Miss Laura. You mustn't catch cold.
How thoughtful you are, dear Mr. Claude. Come, Mama. You know what they say about catching cold at funerals.
Blasted London fog. You can't see across one's own room. Well, that's small enough. Come in. Lindo, my dear fellow.
Yeah.
How on earth did you find your way to the temple on a day like this?
It is a fair way from the East India Dock Road.
You walked, of course, yeah? Don't tell me. Poor parsons always do, like poor barristers.
Now, come, Jack, now you get plenty of briefs, surely.
Not enough, old man. Thought you were one when you knocked.
Seriously, have I called at a bad time?
Oh, not a bit of it. Take your coat off. Sit down. What's your news?
Well, that's just the point, Jack.
Ah, you have news. I thought there was an unusual flush in your cheek, a bit of sparkle in your eye. Parish affairs? Some old party left £1,000 to St. Barnabas Mission?
I wish they had. No, it's not that. It's personal. I've received the offer of a living.
By Jove, I'm glad of it. Very glad. You've had enough of slumming. What is it? 200 and a house?
It's rather more than that.
Oh.
Read this.
October the 30th, 1879. The Reverend Reginald Linder, St. Barnabas Mission House, 383 Dock Road, London. Dear Sir, we are instructed by our client, the Right Honourable the Earl of Dinmore, to invite your acceptance of the living of Clavisham in the county of Warwick, vacant by the death on the 15th instant of the Reverend John Williams. The living is of the approximate value of £810 per annum and a house. Our client is travelling in the United States, but we have the requisite authority to proceed in due form and without delay. Well, this beats everything. Clavisham. Why, I know it well.
Do you really?
I knew old Williams. I've even got an uncle down there and cousins. My dear fellow, it's a wonderful piece of good fortune. I congratulate you heartily. Oh,
thank you, Jack. It is gratifying.
But how did you come to know the noble earl?
I don't. I've never seen him in my life. But my uncle was his tutor. You know my uncle, a vicar of St. Gabriel's Aldgate. He died about a year ago.
Oh, yes, I remember.
He often used to stay at Lord Dinmore's place in Scotland. I suppose my name must have come up sometime when they were talking.
Likely enough, and the earl remembered it.
It's wonderfully good of him. Not a small country living, but a town. And £810 per annum.
And you're just 25. Why, you'll be the youngest rector in the clergy list, I should think.
I know, but I mustn't think of it just like that. From the loaves and fishes point of view, I mean. Of course, I'm glad about the money and the house, but if I didn't feel I could do the work as I hope to do it, well, please heaven, with as much fervour as I've worked at St. Barnabas, then I would refuse it. I would indeed.
Oh, I wouldn't do that, old fellow. We've known each other from college days, and I know you're not the man to shun responsibility.
I'm glad you think so.
I do. Accept. Now, about this uncle of mine, his name's Bonamy, and he's a solicitor, and one of your church wardens.
How strange. And jolly, isn't he?
I wouldn't call it jolly, exactly. Well, he's been good to me, and I'm not going to say anything against him. But I wouldn't like him for one of my church wardens. Never mind, though. You'll like my cousins. Splendid girls. One's still at school, and that's Daintree. And as for her sister, Kate, well, you'll see what I mean. But don't cut me out, though, will you?
I expect to have very little time for flirtation, Jack. My parish duties are all that will concern me.
Of course, of course. My cousins are coming up on a visit next week. Introduce you, if you like.
It's very kind of you, Jack, but I have a busy fortnight ahead. It'll take me all my time to wind up my affairs at the mission.
Come along, sir. Oxford train just leaving.
Thanks. I'm not travelling. Just seeing someone off. Here you are, girls. Something to read for the journey.
Oh, good. The new Punch.
Thought you'd like this book, Kate.
Their wedding journey. Oh, it sounds rather romantic reading for me, Jack.
Oh, I don't know. Just thought you might like it. All right in this carriage?
Yes, thank you. Couldn't you get us an empty one, didn't you?
Sorry, none to be had. But that chap in the corner won't bother you. Hasn't stirred from behind the Times.
He's got horrid boots on. Daintree, be quiet.
Well, there you go. Soon be at home, girls. Remember me to the governor.
And thank your mother again for having us. Goodbye, Jack.
Goodbye, Kate. Goodbye.
Well, that's that. Back to boring Clavisham.
Well, at least there'll be the new rector. Jack said he was nice. And clever.
That was all, though. I wish he'd told us what he was really like. He hardly said anything. But I suppose men don't notice.
Papa said, in his letter, that it was a pity a local man hadn't been appointed. Someone who knew the place and the old ways.
Papa would.
I say, Kay.
What?
Look at this in Punch. Visitation questions for archdeacons and others. Let's pretend we're archdeacons calling on old Lindo.
Are your services monotonous or musical? Do you turn your back upon your congregation, or does it turn its back upon you? How many threepenny pieces do you get in your collection? Do the pretty girls go to you or the curate for religious teaching?
They'll go to Mr. Claude, of course. He's quite good-looking and young, even if he does only make sheep's eyes at Laura Hammond. I bet Mr. Lindo will be as old as beastly old Dr. Gregg.
As old as...
I beg your pardon.
Oh, Jiminy, a clergyman.
I beg your pardon, ladies, but I feel I should make myself known. I am Reginald Lindo.
Oh!
I should have spoken before when your cousin, my friend, Jack Rowley, saw you off.
Well, it would certainly have been kinder, sir.
I'm sorry, I don't know why I didn't speak. As it is, I have embarrassed myself and you. How can I apologize?
Wouldn't the best way be to forget how our acquaintanceship began and pretend we've been properly introduced?
Oh, quite the best way. Thank you, Miss Bonamy. And this is Miss Daintree, I believe.
That's right. It's all Jack's fault, really. He made us think you were awfully old and stuffy and pompous, you know.
Daintree.
Oh, what do you think of me now?
I think the dogs would like you.
Dogs?
My dogs. Snip, Snap and Snorum. They're bull terriers. Oh,
read your punch, Daintree.
Do you think you'll like Claversham, Mr. Lindo?
I trust I shall.
I don't think you will.
Really? Why?
Wait and see. Just you wait, that's all.
Goodbye for the present, Miss Bonamy. Miss Daintree, I hope to see very much of you in the future.
Oh, we hope so, too.
Oh, we do.
The dog cart is meeting us. Will you share it as far as the rectory?
That's most kind of you, but I expect to be met by my curate.
Oh, yes. There is Mr. Claude at the end of the platform.
Oh, well, I'll go and join him. Goodbye, ladies.
Goodbye. Oh,
Miss Bonamy. Well, well, Miss Bonamy. Back among us once more, eh?
Good day, Dr. Gregg.
Oh, I can't do without you, you know.
You're very kind. Come along, Daintree.
Picked up a handsome young parson on the way, did you?
We hardly picked him up, Dr. Gregg. He travelled in the same carriage.
And it was Mr. Lindo, so there.
Oh, a new man's son, I presume. Well, there'll be some scratching and clawing among the parish tabbies now, I wager.
I really couldn't say.
Well, you seem to be getting along with him pretty well. Haven't seen you laughing like that before.
It was a very pleasant journey.
Yeah. Pity I didn't see you at Paddington. And we could all have shared in the fun, eh?
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid we really must be going. Good day.
Good day to you, Miss Bonamy.
Why didn't you tell him it was the rector, Kate? Now he's got it all mixed up.
Dr. Gregg may find out his facts for himself. It's no business of ours.
Mr. Claude, I believe. Good day to you.
Oh, good day.
You came to meet me, I think. My name is Lindo.
Oh, really? Oh, Mr. Lindo didn't mention that you were with him.
But I'm afraid
you'll walk up to the rectory with me, perhaps?
I would like that.
And where is your father? Was he delayed by business?
My father?
Have I made a mistake? You're Mr. Lindo's brother, perhaps?
Brother? No, I am Mr. Lindo.
The rector?
Yes.
Indeed. I beg your pardon. I don't know why. Well, I mean, I'd expected to see an older man.
I'm sorry you're disappointed. I begin to think that I am rather young, for you're not the first today who has made that mistake.
Ah, I saw you leave Miss Bonamy and her sister.
Yes, we travelled together. A charming young lady, Miss Bonamy.
Well, you'll find the rectory a very comfortable house, warm and old-fashioned. Mr. Williams, housekeeper, has everything prepared for you.
Well, then won't you dine with me?
Oh, I was expected at my lodgings.
Oh, do? I think we should make friends with each other as soon as possible.
Thank you. I will, then.
There's so much I have to ask you. I need your help and your advice. I have no knowledge of Claversham and its ways, and you have so much. You will help me, won't you?
Of course, Mr. Lindo. You may rely on me. Well, very pleasant meal. Thank you.
Won't you take some more coffee?
No, thank you. No. Yes, I've always admired this library. Oh, this is charming.
My prayer book. Yes, it is a fine binding.
Reginald Lindo, 1850. Well, surely you didn't possess this in 1850.
Hardly. I wasn't born until 54. No, the book was my uncle's. I was his godson, called after him.
Is he alive?
No, he died. Oh, let me see, nearly a year ago.
Your uncle was an old man, I take it?
I'm 64 when he died. He'd been Lord Dinmore's private tutor, you know, though they were almost of an age.
Indeed. You knew Lord Dinmore through him, I suppose.
No, never met him. I shouldn't know him from Adam.
Ah, indeed. I think I will take a little more coffee.
Yes?
Is Mr. Bonamy at home?
No, sir, he isn't.
I'm sorry to have missed him. Do you know what time he will return?
No, sir, but I expect Miss Bonamy does. Will you walk upstairs, sir, and I'll tell her?
Thank you.
This way, sir. Mind the turn. It's dark. Oh, do be quiet, Tom. Didn't you get them downstairs? My father isn't in, Mr. Linden.
No, so I thought I...
Oh, Daintree, you naughty girl. You've brought Snorham in.
Well, he followed me.
But you know Papa would be so angry if he found him here.
But I only want him to see Mr. Lindo. You are unkind, Kate. You know he never gets a chance of seeing a stranger.
You want to know if he likes me.
That's right. Look, he does. He's laughing.
Oh, is that what it is?
Take him out, Daintree, right outside, and keep those other two out. Snip and Snap aren't as big as Snorham, Mr. Lindo. Jack gave me Snorham, and Snip and Snap are his sons.
Quite a genealogy.
Yes, and Jack was the Genesis. Genesis means beginning, you know.
Thank you. I'll remember.
Daintree, you must go downstairs if you're going to talk nonsense.
Oh, all right. Come on, Snorham, we're not wanted.
Well, now do sit down. I'm sorry Papa isn't in. I'll ring for some tea if you'd like
to. Oh, please don't trouble. It was really you I came to see, I must confess. Your face and Daintree's are the only ones in this town that are not absolutely new to me.
Yes, it must feel strange.
It does. Aren't you going to ask me what I think of Clavisham?
I'd rather ask you in a month's time. Do you know, they're saying you'll only stay with us a year.
A year? Why?
Oh, don't you know the tradition? That as many times a clergyman sounds the bell at his induction, so many years he'll remain in the living. And you rang it only once.
Did I? Well, well. Had I known, I should have told it at least 50 times. Claude should have warned me. How curious. I suppose he thought I knew. Oh, I remember now. The Archdeacon did say something afterwards. I didn't understand him. You know the Archdeacon, Miss Bonamy?
Oh, no.
Oh. Well, at any rate, you must know Mrs. Hammond and can tell me where she lives. She has kindly asked me to dine on Tuesday.
She lives at the townhouse, up among the trees near the top of the town. You can't mistake it.
Shall I have the pleasure of seeing you there?
No, I don't know Mrs. Hammond, except a nod to. We don't know many people, Mr. Lindo, as you'll find out.
I see.
Oh, don't look so downcast. She's very pleasant, I believe, and comfortably rich. She entertains a great deal. Dances and tennis parties, that sort of thing. And Laura Hammond is very pretty and has a lot of admirers. One of them is your Mr. Claude, I believe.
Really? Oh, well, in that case, I wish him luck, poor fellow. He seems strange. How shall I put it? Melancholy? Withdrawn?
Disappointed?
Exactly the word. How clever you are, Miss Kate. Miss Bonamy, I mean. And how refreshingly charitable to your own sex.
Well, charity begins at home, they say. And that is where you will generally find me.
I could ask nothing better than to call on you. If you would...
Oh, Papa. Mr. Lindo has called.
So I see.
Well, I'll leave you alone, then.
Do.
Goodbye, Mr. Lindo.
Goodbye, Miss Bonamy. I'm extremely glad to make your acquaintance, Mr. Bonamy. I called because I particularly wanted to say something to you.
As your church warden?
Yes, and generally. Mr. Bonamy, I have heard that you weren't disposed to look on my appointment, the appointment of a complete stranger, I mean, with favour.
Where did you hear that?
Well, perhaps you'll excuse me saying how I learned it. It was in conversation, by accident.
Then I think you should have kept it to yourself.
Well, possibly. My only motive in mentioning it was to say that I hope, shortly, by appealing to you for your hearty cooperation, to overcome any prejudices that you may have.
My prejudices are rather strong. I may as well warn you now, as frankness seems to be in fashion, of one reason for them.
Pray do.
I've been told you're meditating considerable changes in our church here. Now, I must tell you this, that I object to anything new. Anything new. And not only new incumbents.
But who told you that I meditated changes?
Ah, Let's say that I learned it in conversation by accident.
But it's untrue.
Indeed. Glad to hear it.
I'm not thinking of making any changes whatever. Unless you consider the removal of the sheep from the churchyard a change.
I do. A great change.
But surely you don't object to it. Well, everyone must agree that in these days, and in town churchyards especially, that the presence of sheep is unseemly.
I don't agree at all. Neither did the late Mr. Williams.
I don't think you mean what you say, Mr. Bonamy.
You'll find that out when you turn out the sheep. Meanwhile, I bid you good evening.
Someone to see you, Rector.
Oh, dear. Anybody important, Mrs. Baxter?
A stranger to the town, I think, sir. Not a gentleman.
What does he want? I really must finish this sermon. I have to go out this evening.
He won't say what he wants, sir, except to see you.
Oh, very well. Show him in.
Yes, sir. In there, sir.
Good day.
Good day, sir.
Sit down. Your name is...
Felton, your reverence. Charles Felton, Lord Dinmore's valet.
Indeed. Has Lord Dinmore returned, then?
I can't say he has, sir.
Well, then you've brought me some message from him.
No, sir. If you'll pardon me, it's about myself, sir. I'm in a bit of trouble, and I think you'd help me if you heard the story.
I'm quite willing to hear it.
Well, sir, I wasn't very well out there, sir. And his lordship, he's an independent kind of man, thought he'd be better by himself. So he gave me my passage money and board wages for 3 months and told me to come home and take a holiday until he returned to England.
Yes.
But on board the boat... Oh, I'm not excusing what I did, sir, but others have done worse. I was led to play cards with a set of sharpers. And the end of it was that I landed at Liverpool yesterday without a halfpenny.
Well, that was bad. You need help, I suppose.
I want something to live on until his lordship comes back.
But why come to me? Why not to Lord Dinmore's steward, or his agent, or his solicitors?
Well, then tell of me, and likely enough I'd lose my place.
I still cannot see why you came to me.
Because you're rector of Clavisham, sir. Which is my lord's gift, as you know, sir.
Yes, but...
I came here, sir, expecting to meet an older gentleman, a gentleman of your name, a gentleman known to me. And I find you. I see you, do you see, where I expected to find him.
You mean my uncle, I suppose.
Well, sir, that's as maybe you know best, but that's how the case stands, and seeing it stands so, I hope you'll help me. I do hope, on every account, that you'll see your way to help me.
I don't understand your manner, Felton, but I'm willing to help you. Of course, I shall expect you to repay me when you're able.
Oh, I'll do that.
You might have added thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I will allow you 10 shillings a week. On loan, of course. You can keep yourself on that, I suppose.
Oh, it'll help, sir.
There you are.
Oh, you're very kind, sir. A real good-hearted gentleman.
Mr. Lynn, oh, I beg your pardon, Rector. I thought you were alone.
Come in, Claude, come in. Our friend here is leaving. You can send me your address, Felton. Good day.
Good day, sir, and thank you.
Someone out of luck?
Yes.
Didn't care for his looks much. He's not local, is he?
He's respectable enough. In fact, he's Lord Dinmore's valet.
Oh. Lord Dinmore come back?
Nobody sent the man home. The silly fellow lost his money on the boat coming over and wanted an advance until his master's return.
Why on earth did he come to you?
Oh, I don't know. He did, and there's an end of it. I suppose I'd better put my cash box away before Mrs. Baxter accuses me of putting temptation into my parishioner's path.
Yeah.
This is an ingenious little cupboard, don't you think so?
Very. One would hardly notice it among the bookshelves.
It comes in useful for petty cash and a few private papers. Any news abroad today?
Well, there's a good deal of interest felt in the question of the churchyard sheep.
Oh.
If you give way on this matter, you'll give way on others. Bonamy is impossible. He's not a gentleman, you know. He was an office boy with Adams and Rook, the old solicitors here.
Oh.
Well, he's well off now, a sort of power in the town, but of course people like the Hammonds don't visit with him.
Well, that seems very unkind and very snobbish. And whatever Mr. Bonamy may be, his daughters are perfect ladies. And very charming ones.
Yes, yes, of course. I suppose they suffer for the old man's crustiness.
It's all utterly unchristian. I won't tolerate such attitudes in my parish.
Then you'll run your head into a lot of trouble, my dear Rector. This is a small, close-knit country town society, not a slum, a working-class area like your previous one. But your feeling does you credit.
Yes. Or perhaps I can get a word in tonight. Hmm? You're going to the Hammonds' party?
No.
Really? I understood you were a particular friend of theirs.
Mrs. Hammond has been kind enough to invite me to all her parties since she moved into the townhouse nearly 2 years ago.
Well, then why...
Mr. Williams was not a dancing man. He went out very little. Now that the parish has a young rector, I imagine the Hammonds will pay less attention to his curate.
Dear me, Claude, I had no idea you felt like this. Oh, my dear man, I don't give a straw whether I go to the party or not. I'll send the boy up to say I'm ill, and then they'll invite you.
Nonsense, I wouldn't think of it. Please forget what I said. I have plenty of duties to keep me occupied.
So have I, indeed. But I suppose one must go into society sometimes.
If you want to rise to the top of the tree, if your soul isn't measured by our office rules, be careful to be guided by this golden rule. Be careful to be guided by this golden rule. Close to your best and never go to sea anymore, many rulers of the green may be. Get close to your best and never go to sea, and you all may be rulers of the green baby.
Splendid. Ah, Rector, you must tell me all about your mission work.
I should like to, Archdeacon.
Not quite the moment now, in such a festive gathering. Why don't you ride over to see us one day?
How very kind. I'd be honored.
Well, we're only 3 miles away at Kingsford Carbonell. My wife will make me very welcome. Won't you, my dear? I was just saying to Mr.
You
Linder.
Look happy, Mr. Linder.
Happy, Miss Hammond? I feel really transported into another world from the one I was in this afternoon, you know.
And it's a pleasant one.
Oh, delightful. Charming. You can't imagine how much, sir, that these beautiful rooms... The flowers. Where can they have come from in December?
Mama has them sent from the Isles of Scilly.
Really? And the music. I hear so little outside our choir. What was that very lively piece they were singing just now?
You don't know Pinafore. Why, it's all the rage. I thought you came from London.
I do, but I never went to theatres and couldn't afford them.
Dear, dear. What a dull life you must have had, poor Mr. Lindo. Never mind, we'll cheer you up now. Mama is always organizing something or other.
That reminds me, I did mean to speak to you, and I hope you won't think me impertinent.
Yes?
About the Mrs. Bonamy.
Oh.
I believe, well, I have heard that Mr. Bonamy's unpopularity in Clavisham has led to a certain, what one might call, ostracism of himself and his family.
Really? I don't know anything about it. Mr. Bonamy is a wretched, cross, fidgety man, and everybody detests him. Well, he's trying to bully you about those sheep, isn't he?
Well, yes, he is. But...
Don't give in to him. He's only doing it to be tiresome. We like you, and you're a gentleman, which is more than he is.
You're very, very kind to me, Miss Hammond, but what I mean is that I think it's a pity Miss Kate and Miss Daintree should suffer for their father's shortcomings.
Do they? I haven't heard.
I believe very few people call on them.
Then they must call themselves and leave cards.
Miss Hammond... You are so influential in this town, and so...
What am I?
So sweet and kind, I'm sure.
Oh.
Too kind not to help two somewhat friendless young ladies.
Oh, very well, then. I'll ask Mama to call, though I don't know if she will. What a dreadful man you are, Rector.
Why, what can Mr. Lindo have been saying, my dear?
Only that we must make friends with the Bonamys, Mama.
The Bonamys? That rude, overbearing man...
Mr. Lindo says nobody calls on the girls and that we should.
It would be a kindly and Christian act, Mrs. Hammond. Miss Hammond agrees with me.
Really, Laura? After all you've said about Kate Bonamy?
It will please Mr. Lindo so much, Mama.
Oh, very well. Of course, my dear. Won't you play to us again, Mr. Greenacre? I'm sure we'd all like to hear another of your pièce de résistance.
Oh, good heavens, man.
What are you doing?
Oh, mercy. Mercy, Governor. Don't give me up.
You scoundrel, get up and tell me what you were doing. Yes, robbing the rector's cash box, weren't you?
Oh, don't give me up, sir. I've never been in jail or in trouble in my life, sir. I didn't know what I was doing. I swear I didn't.
Aren't you the man who was with the rector this afternoon?
Yes, sir. Charles Felton. Oh, I'm a respectable man. I'm his lordship's own valet. I'll tell you everything.
I know all about you. Mr. Lindo gave you money.
He did, sir.
You ungrateful wretch. Thank heaven I came here and found you tonight.
You come in so quiet, I never heard you. It shot my nerves terrible.
Yes, I had urgent business with Mr. Lindo, and I didn't want to disturb the household. And thanks to me, in a few days, you'll wear the broad arrow on your clothes, my friend.
No, 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 you're a gentleman in holy orders. Oh, give me this one chance, sir.
Be quiet. Oh, get up and speak like a man. Tell me what you came for, and I may let you escape. But the truth, mind.
Well, sir, his lordship turned me off. He missed some money and gave me enough to carry me home and told me to go to the devil.
That was not the tale you told Mr. Lindo.
No, sir, that was lies. But I had to get some money from him to live, sir.
You came to Mr. Lindo rather than anyone else. Why?
Because I thought he was an old pal... an old friend of his lordship, sir. A gentleman I'd met once. And then, when I got to Clevisham, I heard the new rector was a young man.
Yes?
And putting two and two together and keeping a still tongue myself, I thought he'd serve me as well as the other. Only different like.
And what did you say to him?
Not much, sir. But he understood... And he promised me 10 shilling a week.
To hold your tongue?
Well, so I took it to be, sir.
I see. And then you came here to rob Mr. Lindo further.
I saw the money in that box this afternoon, sir. And I thought a bit of capital would set me up comfortable. And then the devil put it into my head that the young gentleman wouldn't prosecute, even if he caught me.
Look here, Felton. I'm going to deal mercifully with you.
Oh.
On certain conditions.
Sir?
Not to leave Clavisham. If you do, before I give the word, I'll put the police on your track, you understand.
Anything, sir.
I wish to see that you lead an honest life for a while. I may tell Mr. Lindo, and once, or I may not. Now, where are you lodging?
The Bull and Staff, sir.
No, stay there. Since you're living on the rector's bounty, you may say so.
Anything you want, sir.
And I'll go. I'll take nothing with you.
It's all there, sir. I've took none of the gold, nor touched none of the papers.
Good. I'll be off with you.
Oh, I'm very grateful, sir.
Now. Quick. Parish account. Parish account. Here we are. This is the letter. Mrs. Gans and Baker, the Reverend Reginald Lindo. Dear sir, we are instructed...
Claude?
Oh.
What are you doing, man?
It's all right. I'll explain. I expected you before.
The Dickens, you did.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm glad you didn't come.
But what is my cash box doing out? And my papers?
Now, I can explain the whole thing.
I do.
The fact is... Oh, I've taken a good deal on myself, and I'm afraid you'll blame me... I came across to borrow a book from you just before 11. The lights in the rectory were out, but to my surprise, the front door was open.
As I found it just now.
Exactly. Well, I had misgivings, and I looked into the hall. I saw a streak of light under the library door, and I came in softly and then threw open the door, and I saw a man in here.
Did you indeed?
Hmm?
Who was it?
Well, that's just what I can't tell you.
He got away then?
No, no.
Then where is he?
I let him go.
You let him go? May I ask why?
Mr. Lindo, he's a parishioner of yours. It was his first offence. And I believe him to be sincerely penitent. I believe, too, that the accident of my entrance saved him from a life of crime. I may have been wrong. I dare say I was wrong, but I cannot go back upon my word. The man's misery moved me. I thought what I should have felt in his place. And I promised him in return for his pledge that he would live honestly in future, that I would not betray his name to anyone, even to you.
Well, when you do a thing nobly, my dear fellow, you do it nobly and no mistake.
So, you don't blame me?
Oh, no, indeed. He's taken nothing, I suppose.
Oh, no. I was putting things straight when you came in and startled me.
The papers are in a mess, I'm afraid.
It's my own fault for letting him see that the cupboard key was kept in my drawer. Ah, well, a lesson.
Yes. Well, you had a pleasant party, I suppose.
Very pleasant, yes. Miss Hammond really spared no pains to entertain me. I was almost embarrassed by her kindness, I can tell you.
Indeed.
What a pretty creature she is. I must say I'm glad I came to Claversham, in spite of Bonamy and his miserable sheep.
I'm so pleased. Well, good night.
Well, good night, my dear fellow, and thank you for all you've done.
Pray don't mention.
Oh, Mr. Claude, I was glad when I saw you coming up the path. Have you seen Mr. Lindo?
Why, no, Mrs. Baxter isn't here at home.
No, sir, he isn't. He went over to Holberton yesterday with Mrs. and Miss Hammond to stay with the Humphreys. He never came back last night.
Have you inquired of the Hammonds?
Oh, yes, but all Mrs. Hammond could say was that he should have followed them, and she supposed that he was here.
Well, who's to take the service?
It's only you, sir. Oh,
but I'm at the Hamlet Church today. I can't possibly neglect that. Now, don't worry, Mrs. Baxter. The rector's sure to be here in time for 11 o'clock.
You don't think he's met with an accident?
No.
They say something's happened at the coal pits on Bear Hill.
Nothing of the sort. He'll be here. You'll see.
Oh,
9 minutes late beginning, and then the shortest sermon in living memory.
Ah, but Bonamy, he's been studying hard, poor fellow. Reading the devil's books all night. Looks like it anyway, with the night's growth of beard on him.
That's what comes of having a young man always gadding about the country.
I've always thought Miss Laura Hammond to be no better than she should be. You suppose she did return last night, or...
I think you're both very uncharitable.
Kate.
How do we know the reason for Mr. Lindo's lateness or his looks? He may have been ill.
He didn't send for me if he was.
You should reserve judgment until you know the facts, Dr. Gregg.
That will do, Kate. Are you the lawyer in this family, or am I?
I'm sorry, Papa, but it makes me angry to hear Mr. Lindo spoken of like that when he can't speak for himself.
Well, here he is. Let him speak.
Why trouble about him? Let him go, for the damned dissipated parson he is. And the sooner the better, I say.
I'm much obliged to you for your good opinion, Dr. Gregg. I imagine I was meant to hear it.
It's no concern of mine what you hear, sir.
I should be still more obliged to you if you would swear elsewhere. Not in my churchyard.
Oh, how dare you? Are you, young puppy?
I think the least said soonest mended. Hey, Lindo?
It's a pity you didn't think so before, Mr. Bonamy. Do you only come to church to backbite?
Do you only come to church when it suits you? You were late for service.
And if I was?
Well, there may have been a good reason, but it's a thing I've not known happen here for 20 years.
You take too much on yourself, Mr. Bonamy. My parish, among other things. You've laid yourself out to thwart and embarrass me. I know that. But I warn you, I shall find means to...
To put me down?
No. To keep you in your place, as I hope to keep to mine.
Come.
I wish you good morning, Miss Bonamy.
Well, Kate, what do you think of your young hero now?
You have still not heard the reason for his lateness.
No, Miss Kate. He didn't care to tell us.
You've little enough to thank him for, Kate. He's not been new for a month at least. Too busy up at the Hammonds.
I won't discuss Mr. Lindo any more. I'm going home. Daintree?
I'm here. I was listening to you, and I think you're perfectly horrid, Papa.
What?
And so are you, Dr. Gregg. It's nothing to do with you. And if you feel like that, you ought not to come to church at all. I wouldn't.
Well, I haven't.
Come along, Daintree. Horrid. Horrid cat. That's what you are.
And that is what they said, Mrs. Hammond. Miss Hammond. My own parishioners.
It's abominable.
Yes, really abominable of them.
But you haven't heard yet why I was late.
Well, I know it wasn't that you stayed at the Humphreys all night playing cards. My maid told me that rumour.
They would say that. But the real reason was very different. I started back last night about 9:30 after you and Mrs. Hammond had left. As I passed Bear Hill Colliery, I heard there'd been an accident. An explosion. A man with a night shift had been crushed.
Oh, dear. Seriously?
Beyond help.
Oh.
He wanted to see a clergyman. Another pitman, seeing me riding past, stopped me.
How very sad.
I went down the mine and stayed with him the night. He died at 9:30 this morning.
Sure.
I came straight from that to to church. And they say these things of me.
It's too bad, spiteful creatures.
I heard young Daintree defending me, rather loudly. And Miss Bonamy seemed not to join in the general denunciation.
Oh, well, perhaps she has finer feelings.
Well, yes, I must go. It was so kind of you to invite me to luncheon. I have so few friends in Clavisham.
You may count us among them, Mr. Lindell.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I thank you both, sincerely. You have helped me today by your kindness. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'll see myself out.
Well, come again soon.
Thank you.
I like that young man.
So do I.
Do you, Laura? I wonder how much.
Oh, well, he's very handsome, but he hasn't half the brains of someone else, or the looks.
Stephen Claude?
Yes.
Well, perhaps not. I don't know. Poor Stephen. I thought you liked him very much at one time.
I did. I do.
But you don't want to marry him now.
I don't know.
He loves you, Laura, I'm sure. I've seen him look at you. Now, do you think you should lead Mr. Lindo on as you do and neglect Stephen for him?
I don't neglect
him.
Yes,
you do. He's not been invited here since Mr. Lindo came to the parish. I feel I should have been firmer with you. Much of this is my fault. But one has a position to keep up in a town like this. And I wanted you to make a good marriage.
Oh, Mama.
Now, perhaps if Stephen had got the living...
Oh, do be quiet, Mama. It's all very tiresome and I'm bored with it.
Will you ring the bell for tea, dear? I think we'll have it early this afternoon. I feel I want to...
Morning, Doctor.
Ah, morning, Claude.
The very man I want to see.
Oh, why?
What is this absurd story about the rector and you? There's not a word of truth in it, I imagine.
Oh, how can I tell until I know what it is, eh?
Why, the quarrel in the churchyard. All an invention, I suppose.
Ah, it's no invention that Lindo was abominably rude to me.
Rude? Oh, that's only his way.
It's a damned unpleasant way. Well,
why did you not answer him back?
I'll answer him back all right with a riding crop next time he talks to me.
Doctor. I've just been to your house.
Huh? What's the trouble?
Well, my younger girl's a little out of sorts.
Oh.
Would you mind stepping in and seeing her?
Oh, very well. Though I do have a very long list of visits this morning.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Claude, so you've made up your minds to fight, eh?
I'm not sure I understand you.
You haven't seen Lindo this morning?
I haven't seen Mr. Lindo this morning, no.
Oh, you don't know that he turned the sheep out of the churchyard after breakfast. And half of them were found nearly a mile away down Warwick Lane.
I didn't know.
Well, it's a fact. Of course, he gave the church wardens notice to remove them a fortnight ago. We didn't comply because we say it's our affair, not his. Now, you may tell him from me, the only question in my mind is the action we take.
You mean a complaint to the archdeacon?
Perhaps. We'll see. I wonder if the doctor knows anything about this. I'll have a word with him.
Daintree in the drawing room, Doctor.
Ah.
If you'll step inside.
Yeah, of course. Well, well, well. So my little patient isn't even in bed, eh?
Daintree felt she would be more cheerful down here. She can look out at the street.
It's dull upstairs.
Perhaps you would look at her here, Doctor.
I don't want looking at.
Oh, I believe I'm the person to tell you that, young lady. Now, let's see the tongue.
There.
Daintree, that's not polite.
And the pulse? Yes, very good, very good. Now, any temperature?
Yes.
Not a bit of it. Now, what are our symptoms, eh?
I've got a beastly headache, and I've been sick 4 times. I'm feeling sick again now, since you came in.
Oh, well, it's better out than in, eh? Now, there's nothing seriously wrong with you, young lady.
I wish you had it, then.
Can you prescribe anything for her, Doctor?
Oh, certainly, certainly. But may we step into the other room?
Oh, of course. Though I'm afraid there's no fire lit.
Oh, no.
There's nothing serious the matter with her, then?
No, no, nothing at all. Something she's eaten, I suppose. No, the matter is with me, Miss Kate.
With you?
Yes. And you are the cause of it.
I? Oh, really, Doctor?
No, don't be frightened. You must have known for a long time what I think of you.
Oh, indeed, I haven't.
Well, you easily might have known. But the long and the short of it is that, I want you to marry me.
To marry?
Barry,
no,
you...
No, hear me out, please, and don't answer in a hurry. If you like, you can... Well, you can have until tomorrow to think it over.
No.
Oh, very well, as you like, but... Well, I hope it doesn't need very much thinking over. I'm not a rich man, but I am decently off.
Oh, it isn't that.
Now, don't buy a pig in a poke, eh? Well, you've been to my house, Kate, and, well, if it's not quite as large as this, it is a great deal more lively. Or you'll see people there you'll never see here, nor will see while your name's Bonamy. Now, don't you think you could say yes at once, my dear?
Oh, no, I couldn't. I couldn't indeed. I'm very sorry. Oh,
come, I think you can, Kate. Naturally, you're bashful.
No,
but...
I'm afraid it's out of the question, Dr. Gregg.
I don't think you understand, Kate. The house is ready, and the furniture and the servants, they're all ready for you whenever you please. It's an offer not many would make you, you know? Oh, come, Kate, don't be a little fool.
Don't touch me, please. I have said no, and I'll say it again. Indeed, I'll be as plain as you have been. I don't like you as a wife should like a husband, nor otherwise than as a friend.
A friend? Well, you can keep your friendship, but I didn't ask for that.
I have nothing else to give you.
Oh, you wouldn't have said that a month ago,
would
you?
I would indeed.
Oh, no. You'd have sung a very different tune if I'd whistled you before this nimini-pimini parson showed his face here.
How dare you?
Oh, I'm not an absolute fool, you know. Well, I've one last thing to say to you. Your parson won't be much of a catch when we've stripped him of the living he's no right to and proved him the swindler that he is.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, then you're about the only person in the parish who doesn't.
Mr. Lindo is nothing to me, or I to him. But I will not listen to slanders about him. And I will not listen to any more of your insults. Go along. Get out of this house.
When I have said one more word...
You won't say it. You'll go now. Daintree.
You leave the room, child.
I shan't. But you will. You'll go now, as Kate tells you. And if you don't go before I count three, I'll fetch the dog.
Now, look here, miss...
One.
Kate, I...
Two. Are you going? Or shall I fetch Snorum?
Well, I... Oh, all right. Damn it, I'll go.
You're not eating anything, Kate.
I have a little headache, Papa. I'll be better when I've had a cup of tea.
This business with Greg upset you, I suppose.
Yes, a little.
You're sure you gave him the right answer? He's a well-to-do man, you know. I don't know many who could make you more comfortable.
Oh, I couldn't marry him. I don't like him.
Now, Kate... I wouldn't have you marry anyone you don't like. You know that.
Yes, Papa.
I thought you had a fancy for young Lindo when you first came here.
Oh, that was only because he had no other friends then. There was nothing. Dr. Gregg spread stories because we'd travelled from London together. And Stephen Claude has spread some too, though he pretends to be Mr. Lindo's friend. I don't want to talk about it.
Yes?
Has he really turned the sheep out of the churchyard?
Yes, he has. He's making a fool of himself, as I expected. However, it's convinced me of one thing.
What?
That he doesn't know himself, that he has no right here.
Now, Dr. Gregg said something about that. I don't understand. Why has he no right?
It may be a mare's nest. I don't know. But it's the talk of the town that there was some mistake in his presentation to a living. There's a disreputable fellow at the Bull and Staff who's said to be getting blackmail money from him.
I don't believe it.
I'm not sure that I do. But if Lindo had lived quietly and made no enemies, very little might be said when the mistake came out. But as it is, well, his good fortune's turned his head, and he's made a spectacle of himself with a Hammond set.
Could you not give him a word of warning?
I? Why should I? What business is it of mine?
I suppose not.
Oh, this is a surprise.
I thought I would come to see you. I almost turned back and then...
Oh, come in. I was on my way out, but there's no hurry.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a day. Well, you're shivering. Let me take your coat and I'll ask Mrs. Baxter to make some tea.
No, I'm not cold. There's something I want to say to you.
Yes? Well, come into the library and sit down.
Do you know what is being said of you in the town?
a good many hard things, I believe. But I don't believe they will affect me one way or the other.
So you won't thank anyone for telling you of them?
Well, where ignorance is bliss, you know.
Yet there is one thing being said which I think you should know. Your friends may not venture to tell you.
Indeed, you arouse my curiosity.
It is being said that you have no right to the living. That you are appointed by some mistake or fraud.
Is it indeed? No, I hadn't heard it. May I ask if you heard it from your father?
Well, he told me, yes. But he also said that he didn't believe part of it.
He thinks me not guilty of fraud, then?
No.
I'm much obliged to him.
Oh, you're angry with me, I can see. But I have one more thing to say.
Please continue.
I am told that the fewer enemies you make, the more quietly you live, the greater the chance will be of your staying here when the mistake is found out.
The mistake? What mistake?
Oh, please, I shan't trouble you again. I only want you to know that those who have cause to dislike you, I don't mean my father, feel that you're playing into their hands and will use all the disagreements as weapons against you when the time comes.
Really? And may I ask who my ill-wishers are?
I don't think their names matter.
Then at least may I ask why I am indebted to you for this warning?
I thought it a pity you should fall into a trap unwarned. And I thought your friends would not warn you.
I quite agree with you. My friends wouldn't believe the story.
Perhaps not.
I am astonished that you did. I am astonished that you should have believed anything so absurd, Miss Bonamy.
I suppose I should say I'm sorry I told you, but I'm not. It's better you should hear it like this than from others.
I hope never to hear of this nonsense again.
You will. I'll go now. But you will hear it again, and remember what I have said.
Mr. Cloud to see you, Miss Laura.
Oh, show him in, Susan.
I didn't know you had a visitor. Good day, Rector.
Miss Laura won't mind entertaining two clerics at once, will you, Laura?
Oh, of course not. Do sit down, Mr. Claude.
Thank you, I mustn't stay.
I'm glad you've turned up at this particular moment, Claude. I want your opinion. Miss Laura says that I'm pauperizing the town by giving too much away.
Now, if you're half as generous at our bazaar on the 10th, you'll do twice as much good.
Or half as much evil.
If you like.
Any success the bazaar may have will be entirely the result of your efforts, not mine.
Thank you.
Would you think those very small hands could turn out so much needlework, Claude?
Miss Hammond is very accomplished. Were you asking my opinion about parish expenditure?
To be sure.
Well, there is one. Pensioner, I think you'd do well to strike off your list.
Who's that?
The gentleman at the Bull and Staff.
Bull and Staff? I don't know any such gentleman.
I think you know Felton.
The valet? Yes, I know him, but I didn't know he lived at the Bull and Staff. Not much of a place, is it?
Very nearly the worst public house in the town.
Oh, really? I'll speak to him about it.
Yeah, I should speak to him about getting drunk, too. He's drunk every day, but Saturday, when he comes and pulls a long face at you over a clean neckcloth.
Who is this man? I don't know anyone called Felton.
Protégé of the rector's. Ask him if you want to know.
He's a servant of Lord Dinmore's, Miss Laura.
You might also ask the rector why he finds Felton board and lodging free, gratis, and for nothing.
That's my business, Claude.
Mr. Claude, Stephen, why are you being so horribly rude to Mr. Lindo? And why are you both so angry?
I have no idea why Mr. Claude has begun this subject, Laura. Perhaps I'd better say good evening to
you. Oh, must you? You won't forget the bazaar.
Of course not. Good night.
Well, which is it to be, Laura?
I don't know what you mean.
I think you do. Is it to be him or me? You must choose.
Who said my choice was limited to you two? Who said I should have to choose at all?
Laura, don't play with me. Don't torture me. I'm a man. Is he more? Is he much? I love you with all my heart. I've loved you since the first moment I saw you. And you throw me over because he's a little richer, because I'm a curate and he's the rector. God help me, Laura. I thought you loved me a little.
Stephen, you don't need to speak to me like that.
Do you mean you...
Please, give me a little time. I want to think something out.
No, I want your answer now.
You must hear me, Stephen. I know people think I'm a silly little doll, but I do have feelings. I do care for you, Stephen.
Oh, my darling.
No. Do listen. You see, I'll tell you, though I wouldn't tell anyone else. Mr. Lindo hasn't made any proposal to me. I've no reason to think he's fond of me at all.
Then why?
Don't think badly of me for saying this, Stephen. I wouldn't marry Mr. Lindo because he's a rector with a living and a position. Oh, I
did flirt with him at first, but then I realized how stupid I was being.
I was so jealous, so bitter.
But all the same, I wouldn't marry a curate. Not even you. You see, to marry a curate would be a failure for a girl like me. I've held my head rather high and stood by and seen other girls married. If I married a curate now, well, do you understand?
I think so.
And despise me? Well, you must. But I think you should know me as I am.
Yes.
Now, I'll say this to you. Win a living, and I'll marry you. If you can't, then I can't.
You'll marry me on the day I obtain a living?
Yes.
Laura. Oh, Laura, Laura. Oh. No, you shan't escape. I shall kiss you as I've wanted to kiss you so long, Laura.
Stephen, don't. Oh, you frighten me. Oh, darling, Stephen. Oh. Hmm.
Hmm. And you promise?
I promise.
Claude?
Damn.
Are you there? May I come in?
Confound it. Just a moment, Rector. Yes, come in.
I'm sorry to disturb you in your lodgings. I see you're busy.
No, just sorting some papers. I'm afraid our encounter this evening was unfortunate. I was out of sorts.
Oh, don't trouble yourself about it. That isn't why I called. I came to tell you the news.
What news?
Why, Bonamy served me with a writ.
Hmm?
At this hour of the night, too, a writ for trespass in driving out those wretched sheep.
Oh.
And it's in the Queen's Bench Division of the High Court of Justice and all the rest of it.
Well, what will you do?
Oh, fight, of course. That's why I came to see you. Now, didn't you tell me you knew the Archdeacon's lawyers in Birmingham?
Why, yes. Won't you sit down? It's much warmer over by the fire.
Oh, no. I'm in haste. Just write the address down for me like a good fellow.
Yes.
Any scrap of paper will do.
Yes. Let me see. Yes. There you are. Yes, they may be trusted, I think.
Oh, thank you. I'll write tonight as soon as I can get back. Now, I'll leave you to your work. Don't sit up too late over that mass of papers.
I won't. Good night.
Good night.
Oh. It's all for nothing. There's not a line in these letters to convict him. All my pains for nothing. How am I to get them back?
Oh, it is jolly decent to see you, Cousin Jack. Why don't you come often and often, though it is so dull here?
Work, my dear, work. But I thought I'd slip down and see you and Kate and my friend Lindo. I didn't expect to hear the old man have been putting his foot in things, though.
Well, he has, as we told you. No end.
And yet he's the best of fellows. Don't you like him?
I did. Kate did too, didn't you?
Oh, of course.
And you don't now?
Well, not so much. He's too big a swell for us now.
Oh, Daintree means that my father and Mr. Lindo have not got on well lately.
Hardly, if it comes to serving a writ.
So, of course, we've seen very little of him.
Oh, that's all, is it? Well, no doubt he's found his own friends.
Who has?
Mr. Lindo, Papa.
Ah, you know him, I think, Jack.
Why, yes, sir. We were at college together. He's one of my best friends.
Indeed. I hadn't realized that. Now, I did see him in private life. He's not an objectionable man.
Oh, quite the reverse. Why do you say that?
Because in public life, I dislike him.
I'm sorry about that. I don't know him much in that capacity, you see, though it happens that I was the first person who congratulated him on his promotion when he told me of the offer of the living.
Did he indeed?
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going over to see him. He dines late, I expect.
Mr. Lindo does everything that is fashionable.
What do you think you're doing?
What was that?
Oh. I've called to see Mr. Lindo.
Oh, what a start you gave me. I am Mr. Lindo's curate. I was putting back some parish papers.
So I saw. I'm afraid your nerves are a little out of order.
Never set eyes on it. Did old Archdeacon, looking very well.
I may say the same of you, my lord. You had good sport.
Oh, capital. But it won't last my time. In 2 years, I won't be ahead of Buffalo in the States. Oh, by the way, saw your nephew.
My nephew?
Yes, had him up to dinner in Kansas City. Good fellow, very good fellow.
But, Lord Dinmore, you must be thinking of someone else. I haven't got a nephew.
No? Then it must have been the Dean's, or perhaps it was old Canon Frampton's. Anyway, it's a good fellow. Excellent fellow.
There have been changes in the parish since you were here. Poor Mr. Williams is gone.
Ah, yes, to be sure. Poor old chap. He was a friend of my father's. Oh. Now you're a friend of mine, in his place. Oh, I remember now. Yeah. I meant to see Lindo before I called here.
Oh, I'm expecting him every minute.
Eh? Oh,
yes.
Capital. He's a good fellow now, isn't he? I'm sure you ought to be obliged to me for sending him such a cheery soul.
Oh, indeed, yes.
Ah, he's not so very old. Well, not too old. Eh, Miss Laura? Young. For his years.
If you like to put it that way. Yeah. Mr. Lindo, ma'am.
I'm afraid I scarcely deserve any tea. I'm so late.
Lord Dinmore is here. I don't think you've seen him.
Oh, well, I have been looking forward for a long time to this meeting, Lord Dinmore.
To be sure. Pleased to meet you.
Have you just returned to England?
Oh, came back last Saturday night. Where's Lindo? Why didn't he show up? I thought I heard someone say he was here.
Lord Dinmore...
But this is...
What? Where's she? You're not one of his curates. Made a mistake then, huh? I beg your pardon. Where is he?
This is the rector, Lord Dinmore.
No. I mean the old rector. My old friend.
But he's forgotten Mr. Williams is dead.
Nothing of the kind, dear lady.
Oh.
Bless me soul, do you think I don't know whom I present to my own livings? Thought this gentleman was Lindo's curate, that's all.
I'm afraid we are at cross purposes, Lord Dinmore. I am not my own curate because, if I may say so, I am myself, Reginald Lindo, whom you were kind enough to present to this living.
To Claversham?
Yes.
You say you're Reginald Lindo?
Well, certainly I am.
Then, sir, I say certainly you are not. What do you mean by saying that you are? Huh? What do you mean by it?
Good Lord,
who are you, sir? Answer me that.
I think you must be mad, Lord Dinmore. I am as certainly Reginald Lindo as you are yourself.
But who made you rector of Claversham?
The bishop, on your presentation.
That's quite true, my lord.
It's a lie. I presented a man nearly three times his age, do you? Man of 60. It's an old friend of mine. Oh, promised him the living years ago. Well, if this man has letters of presentation, I didn't give them to him.
Lord Dinmore, you will answer for these insinuations. If there has been an error, the fault was not mine.
An error, you call it, do you? Well, let me tell you.
Lord Dinmore.
One moment, Lord Dinmore, if you please.
What?
If there has been a mistake, I fully believe it is not our young friend's fault. A few questions will make it clear.
Well, I'll ask your questions then. He won't answer them.
I think he will. Now, Mr. Lindo. Here's Mr. Claude, just at the right moment.
Do I interrupt? Shall I go?
No, please stay. Lord Dinmore, this is Mr. Lindo's curate. He may be able to help us. First, my lord, to whom did you intend to present the living?
My old friend, Reginald Lindo.
His address?
Huh? East End of London, somewhere. Oh, I remember now. St. Gabriel's organ.
He was my uncle. He died a year ago, last October.
He died?
Yes, died. Your lordship keeps a watchful eye on your friends, it seems.
Good heavens. Yeah. Oh, yes. I remember now. I had heard. There was a letter came when we were in camp. We had some Indian trouble, moved on. Forgot about it, I suppose. Oh, dear.
My uncle died a year before the presentation was offered me by your solicitors.
Lord help us. You are a clergyman, I suppose.
You insult me, Lord Dinmore.
Oh, you're a fine one to talk of insults. And you in my living, without a shadow of title to it.
Excuse me, I think I can answer for Mr. Lindo. There.
Yes, Mr. Clow?
When Mr. Lindo came here, I expected an older man. He happened to mention that he'd lost an uncle of the same name, and it occurred to me then that it was just possible there might have been a mistake. I'm sure that he had no suspicion of the kind himself.
Nonsense! Is it possible that he had none if you had?
Is it possible that a man who had his dear friend's death announced to him should forget the news in a year and think of him as still alive?
You scoundrel, you puppy. You're going to give up my living.
No.
No?
If you had treated me differently, my answer might have been different.
Now, though the mistake was yours, you've accused me of fraud. You've dared to ask me whether I am a clergyman, though I have been ministering to the people in this parish for months. You've insulted me grossly, and so have put it out of my power to resign.
But I order it.
I acknowledge no authority in you. I am subject to the bishop and him only.
Give me my hat. Let me get out before I swear. Oh. I've never been so insulted in my life. Never. Now, let me get out.
Oh, Lord Denmark.
Well, what an old bear.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
This is a very strange business, very. Perhaps, Rector, we should have a little talk.
I think I'd better go. You'll excuse me, I'm sure, Mrs. Hammond.
Of course.
Good night.
Poor young man, I'm absolutely sure he knew nothing about
and
it.
And so am I.
It is difficult not to think so. And yet I fear he would be forced to resign.
Surely not.
Lord Dinmore is a very opinionated man, and he has strong feelings about the Clevisham living. I wonder if you know Claude. Huh? Perhaps I should not say this, but we're all friends here. I wonder if you know how near you were to having the living.
I?
Yes. I believe only one thing stood between you and it.
And that was?
A promise. The Earl's promise to his old friend that he should have this living. But for that, he would have kept the resolution he'd made that in future he would give his living to the curate, wherever the latter had been 2 years at least in the parish, and stood well with it.
As Mr. Claude does.
So now, if anything should happen to Lindo, you would drop into it. Well, well. Perhaps I've said too much and should take myself off before I commit more indiscretions.
I'll come with you, if I may. Good night, Mrs. Hammond.
Good night.
Laura.
Good night, Stephen.
Good night.
Oh, poor Mr. Lindo, the pity of it. Think of the income and such a house as it is.
It is a nice house.
That wretched old man, it was all his own fault. Why, I think he's half mad.
And there's the view from the drawing room window.
He ought to be ashamed of
and
himself.
And the hall, or with a Persian rug or two, it would be as good as an extra room.
What hall? Oh, at the rectory.
Of course.
Upon my word, Laura.
Well, you've heard it all now, Bonamy, and I've heard what you've got to say about that scoundrel Felton. So we've got a clear case. Now then, what's to be done? You want to take counsel's opinion?
No, my lord. I mean that I don't think I can act for your lordship in this matter.
Not act?
I have explained, my lord, that I have been constantly opposed to this young man. But my opposition has been of a public nature. And, on principle, I'm unwilling that he or anyone else should think that private interest has had any part in my opposition.
But damn it, you served him with a writ.
I'm afraid I cannot make my reasons clearer.
You realize that you're throwing away a share of my work?
I do, my lord.
And I suppose you'll act for the other side.
I shall not act professionally for anyone.
Oh, well, then you're a damned quixotic fool. That's all I have to say.
Jenkins! Jenkins! Where's Madame Carrick?
Still here, Jack? I'm surprised you're there. Why, sir?
Well, I mean, I wonder why you're not at the rectory, advising your friend how to keep out of jail.
What?
What on earth do you mean, sir?
I mean that he's in considerable danger of going there.
Oh, no.
There's been a scene at Mrs. Hammond's. Lord Dinmore turned up there and met him, denounced him as an impostor, and swore he'd never presented him for the living.
My goodness, who told you, Papa?
Never you mind, young lady. What's more, Lord Dinmore has evidence that Mr. Lindo has been paying a man a certain sum each week to keep his mouth shut.
How much?
It's not true. Who told Lord Dinmore about this?
I did, in fact.
Oh, how could you? How could you betray him? Even if it's true, there must be a good reason.
Kate.
Oh, don't cry, Katie. Oh. Please, dear.
This is rather a wild tale, isn't it, sir?
I can't answer for it. But there's no doubt of one thing, that Lindo was appointed in error. Daintry, fetch me my slippers, as a good girl. Oh, no, get me a candle and take them to my room. Time I was in bed, and you.
Yes, Papa, but poor Kate.
Oh, Jack will talk to her. Come along.
Kate. Kate. Is there no hope for me, then?
No, Jack. But he doesn't care for me.
No, quietly. There's a dear girl. I'll tell you what. I think I'll go round and see him.
Oh, not about...
No, of course not. But he's in trouble. I ought to be with him. Will you tell Uncle in case I'm late?
My dear Jack, I'd ask you to sit down and have some whiskey, but I don't know whether I should. Lord Dinmore says it isn't mine, even the decanter.
I should take a chance on that, and I'll have mine neat. Thanks. Good health. Now, I want to help you as a barrister. Of course, your bona fides at the time you accepted the living is the point of importance. You didn't see the solicitors, the Earl's people, did you?
No.
So their letters conveyed all you knew of the living and the offer.
Exactly.
May I see them?
They're here, in the cupboard. I made them into a packet and put them away soon after I came. They've been here ever since. Here you are.
Let me see. Dates. Good. Number one. I think that's the letter you showed me. Hello? How's this?
What?
You've torn off the latter part of this letter. Now why?
I never did that.
Certain?
Quite. I remember arranging and endorsing the packet. The letter was intact then. I read each one through.
Have you ever shown the letters to anyone?
Never.
Think.
Well, I do remember now that soon after I came here, a man broke in and ransacked this cupboard.
A burglar? Was he caught?
But no, or rather, yes. But my curate caught him, but let him go, as it was his first offence.
Well, sounds an extraordinary story to me, but...
Jack, what a fool I've been. Good heavens, what a fool I've been.
About the letter?
No. Jack, I want you to give a message to your cousin, Miss Bonamy.
Yes?
Will you tell her? I'm sorry I misjudged her a little while ago. Oh, she'll understand, and behaved so ungratefully to her.
Yes, I'll tell her.
And you, Jack, I can't express to you how good I think it was of you to come here tonight.
Nonsense, I've done nothing. Oh, which reminds me, what about my uncle's writ? Have you put it in a lawyer's hands?
Yes, Turner and Gray of Birmingham. Claude gave me their name.
Well, I'd better settle it for you, I think.
Oh, you're more than kind, Jack. Now, where did I put their address? Claude wrote it down for me on a scrap of paper. Ah, yes. Here it is.
No, thanks. Where did you say you got this address?
From Claude.
And where did he write it down for you?
Where? At his lodgings. Why? Is it important?
It very well might be. May I take this with me?
Certainly.
Good night, old chap.
Good night, Jack.
Told me you were here.
Oh, Kate, don't let's waste words. You got my message from Jack.
Yes, and it made me very happy.
I felt I must come personally, however. I owe you a very deep apology for my rude thanklessness.
Please, don't say any more about it.
I've been very stupid, very blind. When I first came down to Claversham, when we travelled down together, I thought things were going to be very different. It has been my fault that my path has been a rough one. I see now how wrong I've been. Will you tell your father that, for me? Although he is acting for Lord Dinmore.
But he isn't.
Not acting? Why? Do you know?
No. He tells us very little. But I don't think he is such a bad friend to you as you suppose.
Oh, I'm glad. Very. The Archdeacon thinks I ought to resign. Do you?
Oh, how can I judge?
But you must have heard more than I have. Now tell me what you think, Kate.
I think you should judge for yourself and not depend on anyone's advice. Try to do right according to your conscience. Oh, I shouldn't talk to a clergyman like this, should I?
Yes, if he hasn't the sense to follow his own teachings. Oh, very well. I shall use this advice to better purpose than the last you gave me.
Mr. Lindo, will you...
What? Anything?
Not anything. Just come and tell me what you have decided.
I promise that. Faithfully.
Morning, Claude. And may I congratulate you?
Congratulate? On what?
Why, haven't you heard about the rector?
No. What of him?
He's resigning, that's what.
What?
Lindo's going to resign at once.
He's changed his mind, then.
That's right. Talking big, defying the Earl, all the rest of it. But he's singing a different song now, it seems. Ah, here comes the Archdeacon. Now we'll hear the facts. Good morning, Archdeacon. And what's the news?
Good morning, Dr. Gregg. Ah, Mr. Claude, I was on my way to see you. Well, I see we're almost at the library. Shall we step into the reading room and have a word? It should be quiet at this time of day. I always find when I drop in to glance at the judges. Well, now, I have some good news for you, Mr. Claude. I saw Lord Dinmore yesterday.
Indeed. Did you?
You've heard that Mr. Lindo has resigned the living.
I heard just now.
Frankly, I'm sorry.
Yes.
But having said that, Mr. Claude, I'll come to a pleasanter matter. I'm happy to say that Lord Dinmore has authorized me to offer the living to you.
To me?
I'm glad. Here is my nephew, gentlemen. Will you kindly tell the Archdeacon what you have told me?
It is only this, Archdeacon. When I went to call on the rector the other night in his library, I saw Mr. Claude replace something which looked like a packet of papers in a cupboard.
Oh, that's a lie.
I thought he seemed strangely upset when I spoke. Afterwards, I found out indirectly from the rector that he had no business at that cupboard, which contains only private papers.
Well,
perhaps you'll explain that, Mr. Claude.
Thinks it's all a lie. It's a plot against me. They're all in it. Bonamy and Lindo and this man.
I can hardly believe that.
Well, then, believe what you like.
Who is it? I can't see you.
Laura.
Oh, Stephen. Why, you're drenched. What a terrible night. Come in.
I want to speak to you, Laura.
Oh, do take that coat off. You'll catch your death of cold. Oh, your poor hands. What is it? What's the matter?
Oh, everything. Everything. I've been walking about all day since morning.
Well, you look so wild and strange. Let me get you some brandy.
No, Laura. I'm leaving Claversham.
Leaving?
Yes, tomorrow. I've been within a hair's breadth of getting the living and I've lost it.
Oh.
It's my own fault, I know that. Been foolish, worse than foolish. I've been found out, that's all.
Oh, Stephen.
Oh, Laura.
I'm so sorry, so sorry.
Have you no more to say than that?
What more do you want?
If you don't know, I can't teach you.
You've no right to say that. You remember our agreement.
You intend to keep to it?
Of course.
And that's all you have to say to me?
Yes, all. Except that I wish you well. I shall always wish you well, of course.
Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye, Laura.
Oh! My dear girl, what is this?
He's lost the living. He's going away tomorrow.
Stephen? And you let him go?
Yes.
You little fool.
Don't call me names.
I call you a fool because you are one. Stephen Claude may not be much of a clergyman or of a man either from what I've seen of his behaviour to the rector. But whatever he may be, he is the man you love.
Don't!
Oh, yes. Even your stupid old mother can see that. Oh, I blame myself very much in this. I've brought you up to be worldly and foolish, and a fine job I seem to have made of it. Well, my eyes are open now. And I tell you, Laura, to think again, or your life will be ruined.
I shan't.
Believe me, you will. Now, send for Stephen, Laura. Tell him you'll go with him, that you don't care whether he's a curate or a bishop. And I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm sorry now that when you...
Asked for advice?
Yes. I'm sorry I presume to give it.
Well, that's a pity, for I've come to ask for it again. Now, you won't refuse, will you?
I think I must. I know nothing of business.
This has nothing to do with business.
Oh, well...
I'll make it as short as I can. And it will help me a little if I put it in the third person.
But I don't...
Once, Kate, there was a man. Young, keen, and successful. So successful that others envied him.
who came to know a girl, and from the moment of knowing her, to admire her. She was not only beautiful, but from the first meeting he thought he saw in her the qualities all men want to see in the woman they love.
Oh, I think...
Stay where you are. This man was weak. He'd had little experience in his new field of work and thought himself of greater importance than he was. He had plenty of opportunities of meeting this girl, but his head was turned and he moved away from her to others. He acted badly, in fact, and he got his reward. And finally, he lost his grand position and found himself where he'd started, as a poor curate.
Yes.
Then, of all times, he found out for certain that he loved this girl, and that he could imagine no greater honor or happiness than to have her for his wife. Well, look at me, Kate. Will you tell me what he should do? Should he ask her to forgive him, or should he go away?
Won't my advice come a little late?
Oh, Kate. Oh, my darling girl.
Oh, you mustn't. Oh, yes, do.
Oh, Kate, Kate.
Well, upon my word.
Oh, Papa.
Sir, I...
Oh, pray don't disturb us, Holt, for me.
The fact is, sir, I have just asked Kate to be my wife.
And I was just going to say I would.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, you have surprised me.
You'll give your consent, then?
Well, I really can see no reason for withholding it. No, on the whole, I cannot see one.
Oh, thank you, Papa.
When I saw you here, Mr. Lindo, I imagined you'd come to tell Kate your news.
Oh, well, I'd not quite got around
to that. What news, Papa?
I saw Lord Dinmore just now.
Well, what did he say?
He told me something which Mr. Lindo already knows. It seems that his lordship's mind has been considerably altered by an account he's just heard of Mr. Lindo's conduct on the night of the mine disaster.
I only did my duty.
Your duty in this case seems to have consisted of descending Bear Hill Mine by temporary lifting gear to workings 2,000 feet below the surface, where you remained all night by the side of a dying man in a spot where you might have been killed at any moment by a further explosion.
Oh, but you never told us.
Mr. Lindo never told anybody, apparently. He merely arrived late for church. The manager of the colliery just made his report to Lord Dinmore, who owns the Bear Hill Mines, of course. Lord Dinmore is what one might call a sporting man, with a great admiration for bravery.
And it was brave indeed.
Perhaps you'd like to tell Kate the form his lordship's admiration took, Lindo.
Well, Kate, he offered me the country living of Pocklington in Oxfordshire.
Worth about 500 a year, I think. The vicar of Pocklington will take over the living here.
And you never told me. You let me think you were going to be a poor curate, you said.
And it made no difference to you, Kate.
Of course not.
Well, I may say I foretold this. I always said this young man would introduce great changes in the parish, and he's done it. He has fulfilled my words to the letter.
In The New Rector, Jeremy Clyde played the part of Reginald Lindo, and Gabriel Wolfe was Stephen Claude. Mrs. Hammond was played by Cecile Chevreau, Laura Hammond, Alexa Romanis, Jack Rowley, David Enders, Mr. Bonamy, Wilfred Babbage, Kate Bonamy, Mary Chester, Daintree Bonamy, Pat Pleasance, Dr. Gregg, Roger Delgado, Mrs. Baxter, Marjorie Forsyth, Felton, Louis Stringer, the Archdeacon, James Thomason, Lord Dinmore, Hayden Jones. The pianist was Arthur Tatler. The novel by Stanley Wayman was dramatized for radio by Molly Hardwick and produced by Graham Gold. The play will be repeated on Monday afternoon on Radio 4 at 3:15. Jeremy Clyde is now appearing in Conduct Unbecoming at the Queen's Theatre, London.